Back-to-back scintillating test matches in Melbourne and Sydney, a win in Melbourne for India, a fighting draw at the SCG, which means that the series is 1-1, level pegging going into the fourth test match at Brisbane, all to play for. What a terrific contest this has been between Australia and India. And we'll be talking about all things Sydney and looking forward to that Brisbane, all important Brisbane test. Hello and welcome to this episode of Hotspot, the cricket podcast. As always, I'm your host, sports journalist and broadcaster Chetan Narula, and joining me all the way from Sydney, I believe, because he's been denied entry to Brisbane. Just joking. He's because of the hard lockdown, he's not been able to fly down to Brisbane to cover the fourth test match, but he will be giving us all the lowdowns from wintry Delhi to sunny Sydney. We welcome on the show once again Bharat Sundaresan. Thanks for joining us, Bharat. And it's been a long summer of live coverage for you. It's been tiresome at times. You've had to escape, hard borders in the middle of the night, drive through wilderness. Just sum up what sort of an experience this has been in the middle of a pandemic covering actual live cricket.
Well, I'll just sum it up in one line. For me, for India, it's been the Border Gavaskar Trophy. For me, it's been the Borders Gavaskar Trophy. Because all I have done is sneak past borders. At least on three occasions, I've slept in a motel in a border town on either this side or that side of the border, based on where I am allowed. But finally, it's caught up with me. I did take a big chance with coming to Sydney, knowing that I might not be able to go to Brisbane after that. But, my experience of covering Indian cricket, and you'll agree with me, the secret is to stick with where the Indian team is, and there, rather than just hang around and like wait for something which might not have happened. As you noticed, I did try my level best to keep the fourth test in Sydney. But I failed in the end, and I had to let go of the Indian team and then gone to Brisbane. But the best part is I can't go home either now. So, I'm just stuck in Sydney for I don't know how long, but at least for the end of this test match. And then we'll see. I might be crossing another border at some point.
Yeah, just runaway crossing borders. I mean, you could write a book about how to get through, hard borders during a pandemic. That should be the topic of your next book. But, it's almost a unique experience when you, given the situation that's been around us and given the fact that you've been the only Indian perspective at the ground, at the venues, just covering the team around. Yes, the legendary Sunil Gavaskar is the other Indian voice on tour, but he's not going to go to practice. He's not going to go and watch Rishabh Pant in the nets and, tujhe chot nahi lagi hai. And, it's a good time to plug in some of the pieces that Bharat has written, especially during this test match. You should read the one on Pant. You should read the one he's written on Vihari and Ashwin and how they withstood the barrage, the Australian barrage in the last session, about Pujara, everything. One of the main pieces that stood out in this test match was the piece on the racism or the racial profiling that not only the cricketers have experienced during this test match, but also what Bharat has himself gone through, his personal experiences. And I think it's an important starting point, because we haven't seen that before, that a player who's been abused on the field, he takes a stand like Mohammad Siraj does, or Siraj did. And, the game was stopped. The only disappointing fact is that it wasn't stopped on the first day. It happened on the second time it happened is when the game was stopped. Just give us a lowdown about all of that, and obviously your experiences and thoughts regarding this matter.
Yeah, firstly, thanks for all your kind words about my articles, Chetan. It was actually the third time. The third time is when play was stopped, because if you listen to the Indians, they said that it happened on day two. Day three is when they finally complained to the team official or the match officials at the end of the day's play, where I just saw that I could see that Rahane and Ashwin hung around, called the two Pauls, the Paul Rifle and Paul Wilson, over and started talking to them. And Siraj came over and they pointed at him and pointed at the fine leg fence. You could see that something was happening. And you could make out that it was something to do with crowd abuse. The fact that it was racial in nature only came out later. At that point, I just thought it's sad, it shouldn't be happening. And, in this day and age, you just expect people to be slightly more mindful. And I remember the next day when I was on radio commentary, I brought it up and I got quite emotional about it, because it's something that we all have experienced in different forms over the years when we've traveled to cricket countries or anywhere in the Western world, because it's just something that we've experienced. And historically, I have dealt with it with humor. I'm a thick-skinned person. I just like don't react to anything but with humor. And I had been thinking about it ever since the whole Black Lives Matter thing. Like Black Lives Matter is, we can never compare our situation with that, because that's something which is greater and which needs its own exclusive space. But just how we react to even what people perceive to be casual racism. And in my book, there is nothing called casual racism.
It's no
racism or no racism. And I had been thinking about it. And then when I saw moments, and I spoke about that, about how it is to be racially abused or even to be profiled. How you are taken aback when it happens the first time. And then with time, you get used to it, but doesn't make it right. It is never right. So I spoke about that. And then to see it happen again during the match. And when I remember it so clearly, I was just watching, there'd been a bowling change. So I was focusing more on who's coming on to bowl. And the over was about to begin when Siraj started walking in. And the moment he started walking in, like, my heart sank, because I knew it had happened again. It was just like, you could make out that he had been abused again, and you just didn't know what to do. And I remember it was just around tea break. So the SEN guys immediately said, do you want to come into the stage studio during the tea break? We want to talk to you about it. Because I just tweeted something out a while back. So I went and I couldn't hold it in. I gave a monologue of sorts for 8-9 minutes about what it is to be at the receiving end. See, all abuse is wrong, but when it reaches race and color of the skin and where you come from or where you should go back to, it just, I don't know. It should not be happening. It should have been stamped out a long time back, but it keeps happening. And the fact that a young man like Siraj, playing just his second test, had the courage to walk down and say, stop play. You can easily look at it and say, oh, these are highly paid athletes. Kuch bhi ho, they should keep playing. They should just ignore it. Which is what a lot of Indians have done. R. Ashwin said how on his first tour, he would stand 10 yards in to avoid listening to what was being said. But it was great to see that young man do what he did. And I think he set an example for everyone, not just cricketers, but any person of color or anyone for that matter who faces abuse of any kind, that the best thing to do is stand up, call them out. And if you can educate them, great. But if in this case, when it comes from spite, when it comes from malice from the crowd, people just want you to feel bad, belittle you, you should call them out and do something about it.
Important point that you mentioned about Siraj standing up for himself. I think that's what matters really, because even if we see it in the context of the Black Lives Matter protest or the movement, let's not call it a protest, let's call it a movement. It's important, like you said, to stand up for yourself. And I think sport is such an important part of our lives that it gets the message across that this youngster who's facing such abuse, and he's been through very, very tough circumstances to be able to represent his country, not only on this tour when he lost his father and missed the funeral back home, but also the fact that the way he's been brought up to play for the country. And the Indian society also does heap a lot of pressure on you as a youngster or as a Muslim youngster. I don't want to highlight it, but it's important to highlight it at the same time. So the whole scenario, the fact that he stood up to it and the fact that the game was brought to a halt, I think that was a very, very poignant moment of probably a game changer if we look at it in terms of how this could progress. Because now what's happened is you have a lot of people coming out, and when I say people in the fraternity, you have David Warner, Nathan Lyon, Justin Langer, Tim Payne, forget the sledging bit, but all of them coming out and voicing their opinions in terms of this is not okay. You have Eddie Cohen, who's the former Australian opening batsman, and he's saying that Australia is a racist country. No disrespect meant there. I've always had fun visiting there, but again, Bharat lives there in Australia. I have visited Australia 3-4 times, and there've been some elements where you experience racial undertones. So it's not surprising that the players have been subjected to it. But again, the fact that people are taking a stand whether it's Black Lives Matter or racial abuse. I think that's the relevant message to go out from this.
Oh, definitely. And see, I believe, Chetan, there is nothing called a racist country. As you know, growing up in India, there's a lot of racism.
Yeah. I was just referring to the statement he's made. Yes.
Exactly. No, exactly. No, I read the statement and he has his own point of view. But I just believe, because that's the thing you get asked, right? Every time, like, I speak to someone from India about living in Australia, the first thing is, oh, it's such a racist country. And this is something I always tell them. There's nothing called a racist country. No country decides,
we're going to be racist. You're going to be racist. Don't come here, we are racist. Exactly. No, it's just the elements. Elements in every society, and there are elements in Indian society as well. But again, like I said, the fact of the matter is that it needs to be called out. It needs to be stopped. And, that has been the more poignant moment for me from this test match. As also you look at the English summer where the players were taking the knee and, you know, raising their fists. These social messages coming across from sport, they do hold, you know, a bit of relevance in society.
Absolutely. And that, like you correctly said, sport is such a great medium to send out all kind of messages, like positive, hopefully. We've seen sport also, unfortunately,
sends out negative messages at times. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, it can. But like if it's used as the right medium, as it has been, like you said, in England, and now in unfortunate circumstances with Siraj, but the fact that he did it, it just tells you that, no more. Like, you know, no more of being vilified, no more of just feeling small. Like Ashwin said, he was made to feel small in 2010-11 or during his previous tours or previous visits to Sydney. It's about just not being the victim anymore, but being the hero. And the way to be the hero is to call them out, to speak about it. And like I said, if you think it comes from ignorance, if it's just a case of, and it happens in Australia, there is a generation of Australians maybe who might be in their 50s, 60s, 70s, who grew up in an era where it is okay to say whatever. Right? Yeah. And at times they say it so matter-of-factly that you are taken aback at first, but then you realize that, oh, it's coming from a place of like, yeah, I mean, what's wrong with saying what I'm saying? And you know what? It's a good time to talk about even in India. Like there are so many songs I've listened to in the 60s and 70s where the word Kalia and Kalu is so common. Like, you know, main kala ho to kya hua, whatever. Like,
Dil wale hain. Yeah, that's the song, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But you don't see all that anymore. Like, because I don't know whether someone decided, no, that's not fair to discriminate in terms of skin color, but it's changing. So things are always changing. So it's similar here. If you grew up in the 50s, 60s, 70s, there was, Australia had a white policy, whites only policy.
Yeah.
I might not be phrasing it correctly, but they had a policy which it was difficult for colored people to move into this country some 70, 80, 90, 10, 100 years ago. But it is changing. Australia is a changing country. So you don't hear someone like who is in their 20s or 30s use racial languages or racial phrases or terms. But that's what was unfortunate, that the guys who were pulled up, look, it's still under investigation. We can't sit here and just be sure that whatever they said was racist in nature. The Indian team is convinced it was. But the guys who have been singled out are young people. So it's sad if it is true that even there is this current generation of Australians feels that way about people who are not like them.
Well, we'll move on to the next topic of discussion, and it's not sledging the episode between Tim Payne and R. Ashwin, because we, both Bharat and I have been on a separate podcast earlier this morning. And when I say morning, you know, at the time of recording, that was the Cricketeers. A shout out to Tasneem, our friends Tasneem and Adam Bell, who are in New Zealand. Cricketeers, good podcast, good conversation on all things cricket. Do listen to it if you can. And both Bharat and I agree that the sledging episode has been, and the Steve Smith episode has been given too much weight. It does not warrant that much weight. So we're just going to, you know, just sidestep that one. But if any of our listeners are interested in that, please go on to the Cricketeers' latest podcast and listen to me and Bharat babble about the Tim Payne and Steve Smith episodes. But we're going to talk about the third test, obviously. We're going to talk about not the entirety of the test. We're going to talk about that last day's play, because probably one of you know, if Melbourne was going down in history as one of the historic test matches of Indian cricket history, Sydney last day, probably the same thing, goes down as a historic day of test cricket in the annals of Indian cricket history. Rishabh Pant coming out fighting. You saw him in the nets. Give us a lowdown on that. Pujara, as solid as ever. Rohit Sharma and Gill giving us a good start. People were thinking about 2008. Lot of elements to it. But also the fact that Hanuma Vihari comes out and plays, what, 160 balls. Ashwin comes out and plays 100-120 balls. And both of them, one leg, half a back, half a hamstring. This is an injured team. This is an injured team, but this is not a defeated team.
Oh, this team has shown more spirit than any Indian team I've ever seen, because they've been through a lot. You know, being in a bubble, being in quarantine for so long. Yes, it might be have been a little porous, wherein they could move around here and there. But just to be just in each other's face for so long cannot be easy. Imagine just being in that hotel where you're seeing the same people over and over again. It's been a challenge, like it's been a challenge for sports persons around the world. But then when you think about the amount of number of injuries, yes, there have been tours where teams have been on tour and injuries have happened. But the timing of the injuries, Ishan Sharma not even making it, which is a big blow. No Bhuvneshwar Kumar. And then Virat Kohli and Mohammad Shami leaving with 36 all out. Like, at that point, nobody gave this Indian team a chance.
Yeah.
And then, yes, the win was great. But India have bounced back in the past and won test matches. Whether it's in England or in Australia or in South Africa, India has done that. But the draw, in my opinion, was a much, much bigger achievement. Because the way that day started and the way that test match was, it looked like on day three, it looked like a throwback to how India's tour of Australia used to be, where they were still piling on the runs. But I believe, Chetan, the fight really started on the morning of day four. The way India bowled, even though Australia's Cam Green came and hit some sixes, the fact that they just didn't give up. And Jasprit Bumrah, I could see, was struggling, but he kept bowling. Like, the physio kept coming on, checking on him, but he kept bowling despite that, which I thought was a great show of character. And then the way Rohit and Gill start, and that's around the time Rishabh Pant snuck into the nets, and me being the stalker, I snuck in behind him. So it was funny as well while the net session was happening, because the test match was still on, and there was so they built a thing for the members, like a I don't know what to call it, like a tent, but a fancy tent just behind where the nets.
I know. Yeah, when you get down from the media. Elevator, there's an area where they put up the tent.
Not there. Right okay. behind the net.
Yeah. Right behind the nets. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Where the indoor nets are. Where the indoor nets are. Yeah.
Yeah. So that whole thing's gone. So there was a TV inside. So I was behind the nets watching them play. And every time there would be a sound from the stadium, it was just a couple of throwdown specialists, Nitin Patel, the physio, and Rishabh Pant. They would all look at me and I had to be the umpire. I would see what's happened and I would signal four. Or I would signal two runs, or I would signal six. And then I had to tell them who hit the six or who hit the four. And while all that was happening, Rishabh Pant was fighting his pain. And that's what I wrote in my piece as well. He kept telling himself, like, I thought it was really cute. I wanted to go give him a hug and breach the bubble and end the tour at that point.
Yeah. But
he kept telling himself, Are tujhe kuch nahi hua. Chal, chal, tujhe kuch nahi hua. He was seriously like a mother talking to him. Yeah. He was very sweet and... Nitin Patel kept checking on him, but he kept saying, no, I'm fine. He batted with the strap, without the strap. And at that point, the physio also said, oh, tomorrow they're going to be in for a big surprise. And also an important lesson for young journalists out there who want to watch the nets. There are some things you don't write or you don't tweet. There are some things that it's their private space at the end of the day. You might hear, but it does not mean that you're going to take a video or a picture of everything and put it out there. And of course, the most important thing is keep the best parts for your writing, not for your...
So it was interesting. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, sorry. No, and at that point, when he said surprise, I figured that they would use Rishabh Pant slightly earlier in the innings, maybe. But I really did not expect the surprise that he pulled off the way he batted. Yes, he was dropped a couple of times, but the way he batted was just... something else. It just told you that it was going to be a special day. And maybe if he had hung around for a little longer, it might have been an even more special day than anyone would have imagined. But in a way, I'm glad he got out, you know, poetically speaking, like, or like, you know, just the romantic in me. I'm glad he got out because we got to see what we got to see with Vihari and Ashwin. Yeah. That partnership, for me, one of the favorite partnerships of all time, like any partnership in Test cricket.
Yeah, it was a marvelous partnership. I mean, it was a day of two partnerships, really. I mean, and they were both very different. You know, one was all about scoring runs. And I remember because I was working with the Doordarshan All India Radio and I was broadcasting for them at that point. And we were told that, you know, it's the last day of the test match. Anything can happen. So just be there on time. And when they meant on time, it was 4:30 a.m. Usually we were told to come at 6 a.m. because, you know, okay, the test match is not ending of the first 4 days. And of course, there was rain on the first day. So it was an extended test match. I mean, you would expect this match to probably end on day four, early on day five. Yeah. But again, it's a good thing it went on to day five. So we were told, you know what, come early by 4:35 a.m. because you never know if the Indian team collapses. Because, you know, it's a weakened Indian team. This is on hindsight. Okay, this is not a comment on how they've saved the test match. It's a weakened batting lineup. Let's just be honest about it. And the lower order was almost diminished. Jadeja injured, Pant injured. You have a couple of tail enders. Hanuma Vihari not in the best of form. Ashwin, he hasn't batted so well off late. Rahane and Pujara, the only main batsmen. And Gill and Rohit already in the hut. So our producer said, you know, just be there at 5 a.m. because, you know, we might be doing the post-match show at 5:30 a.m. So when I was backing my car out, Rahane got out. And I was like, oh, damn. And I just sped my way. There was fog, but I sped my way to the studio. But it was such a great partnership. By the time I reached, Pant really was, what, 5 runs of 35 balls. And that's when he started donking the ball against Nathan Lyon. Took Nathan Lyon out of the equation. Every time he came on to bowl, attacked him. Didn't really let him settle down and he couldn't attack Pujara. The ball was going softer, so Cummins couldn't do his thing. It was an engrossing partnership. And then, totally a different partnership, totally role reversal, because the moment Pant got out and Pujara got out, you realized that India were not going to win this test match. If they were at all going to win this test match, maybe if Pujara and Pant had carried on, one of those two would have carried on, maybe, just maybe. But once those two got out, it was very difficult. It was not going to happen because we did not even have fit batsmen or informed batsmen, let alone enough batsmen to get another 150 runs. But at that time, when the tea time show happened, we told our viewers and listeners that, okay, 36 overs remain. And to watch every delivery go down, I think it was one of the most engrossing sessions of test cricket in recent times. Because, Bharat, how many test matches go into the fifth day? Or how many test matches, especially when, you know, India is traveling overseas, even end up in a draw? So it was an amazing day of test cricket. And I even tweeted that, you know, this fifth day of test cricket at the SCG is our payback for whatever we have suffered in 2020, really. And it was just magical. Two halves, but just showing life in the way it is. Pujara's batting, battling it out, every delivery, Pant battling out his injury, and then Vihari-Ashwin partnership. Just give us your thoughts as how that day panned out.
Yeah, like, you know, I've gotten to used to day five being my laundry day. I haven't covered a day five in so long. The last time was in Manchester 1.5 years ago. So firstly, I was a little disappointed that there was day five because my laundry schedule got messed up. And it was also the first time since Manchester 2019 that Australia or a test match involving Australia had gone to day five. And you know what happened then? Tim Payne had pulled his pants. So of all the things that happened to Tim Payne, at least that day happened.
not his worst day yet.
Not his worst day yet. And it was funny that you spoke about the day being broken into two partnerships. When Rahane got out, you just felt, just the same old, you know, India will just maybe bat for another session and a half and then they'll just break through. It's against Australia and this bowling attack after all. When he saw Rishabh Pant back out, I knew what the surprise was that Nitin Patel had spoken about the previous evening. But you still thought, okay, maybe he'll provide some entertainment. You didn't know how he's going to bat But this is start, like you said, he was very proper. He didn't try any to take any chances. And he faced 11 balls on the trot, 11 dot balls. Josh Hazlewood bowled a maiden over to him. And I remember being on air doing commentary, and I said, the mid-on's up for Nathan Lyon, the mid-offs, long offs back. It's just a matter of time. He's coming around the wicket as well, that he's going to try and clear mid-on. He resisted. And then one, he hit for four. Two balls later, he hit one for six. And when he hit that for six, just the way Nathan Lyon turned around, and Nathan Lyon is the kind of, he's a confidence bowler. You could see that that six suddenly had hurt him, because immediately Tim Payne took him off from that end, brought him on at this end, and then Nathan Lyon kept changing ends, and Rishabh Pant had taken control. And when they went to lunch, to exactly India needing 200, you still felt still a long way to go. How often have we been in positions where it chases 400 and
400,
it doesn't happen, right? It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So, and then you were like, this thing has to end at some point, because Pujara was looking solid at his end. And then after lunch, Pant, like, you know, he, Mitchell Starc wasn't having his best day. He kept leaking runs, and then Pant just kept driving everyone, whether it was Cummins or Hazlewood. If it was full, he would drive them through the covers.
Yeah.
Or if it was short, he would attack them, pull. Of course, he was dropped a couple of times, which helped. It always helps Tim Payne dropping him very early on. Who knows, the game might have ended by tea if that had happened. But he just kept... It was just one of those days where every bad ball was punished. It wasn't Ben Stokes' leads quite, but it was kind of similar in the sense every bad ball was put away. But then when he gets out at 97, at that point you thought, if he goes past 100, maybe... I was very happy because I knew my copy was done for the day. It was a first copy. But at 97, when he got out, I was like, maybe that's it. I mean, the fun part's over now. Now it's just a case of how long these guys will survive.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you did not know that Jadeja was going to bat or not.
Yeah.
Nobody knew. And then Vihari comes out and Pujara hits three boundaries of Pat Cummins on the trot. And I was like, wait a minute. Here?
Yeah.
Like,
what's happening here? Yeah.
And India just needed 140 odd. And you like, if these two bat together, these two are proper batsmen. That's around the time Jadeja walked out, padded up with the glove over his right and left hand.
Yeah.
And you will, maybe, who knows, if these two can take it to within 60 runs, you never know. And that's when Vihari tweaked his hamstring. And it was sad. I mean, it was like a very, you could sense the pain on his face. He could not walk, pulled his pants down, put a strap on, tried running once and he couldn't, and the physio ran out again. And you could see the team management were getting very, very worked up. They were not sure whether he should be out there. And they kept sending the physio in to find out. They literally wanted him to come off. But Vihari just didn't even look at them. He turned around, kept waving them away. And it looked strange. And then Pujara gets out. And just that Hazlewood celebration, like, you know, you could see that's the Australia I've gotten used to seeing in the last 18 months, where it's just that one big breakthrough and like Hazlewood celebrating. And you thought, oh, maybe now it's gone. I mean, Ashwin, you know, it's been batting a lot in the nets, but we haven't seen him bat for a long time.
Yeah,
a long time.
The fluency has been missing. Yeah,
exactly. So I felt maybe this must be it. This has to be it. And you didn't know whether it's going to be Jadeja with the broken hand or Ashwin with the tweaked back who's going to walk out. Because, like I said, Ashwin had not sat down. And then when Ashwin came out to bat, there's still like 20 minutes left for tea. And it was a strange partnership because both couldn't move. I remember I think it was either Brad Haddin or the other commentator who kept saying, oh, Ashwin's walking around like an old man. Like, you know, I know he's tweaked his back, but look at him. He can't even move. And they go to tea. And I really thought Jadeja is going to walk out instead of Vihari, because the team management had a quick chat with him and Vihari was really struggling. And maybe I thought maybe they'll send Jadeja in, just take a chance, because they did not want to risk this young man's career. Because think about it, Chetan. He gets injured, might not play the fourth test, might not play the test against England. Some other young batsman comes in, makes 200. We've seen that happen so often. This young man was putting his career on the line, sacrificing his career by staying out there, which I thought was remarkable what he was doing there.
Yeah.
And after tea, the first 15 minutes was all about Ashwin. He was hit on the shoulder first over. He was hit in the ribs in the same over, and the physio kept running out. But that man just kept fighting it out. Like, he couldn't move, and suddenly he had blows all over his body. And then for me, the best part of the day was that romantic exchange between overs, where the chest pad would be like stuck behind Ashwin's back. And at the end of each over, they would hand it to each other. And the non-striker would have it tucked in his pants behind.
Yeah.
They had decided there's no point running between the wickets.
So yeah.
It was just a remarkable
there, there was a moment. There was a moment. Let me just interject. There was a moment which was shortly before tea or after tea. I'm just a bit hazy on that. When Ashwin had just come to the crease and he went for a quick single. And, we were all surprised that, you know, Vihari is on one leg. What are you even doing? And he's been run out the same way in the first innings. It was not as dangerous as the first innings one.
Yeah,
but there was this one moment, and that was the last time they ran a single throughout that session.
That was, only when the single was really obvious and the ball had gone deep into the outfield.
But even then, Vihari was not able to run it. You know, he was not able to run. Yeah.
He was just hobbling up and down. It was just, and then you kept looking at the dressing room, and Jadeja sitting there with a broken can't feel his own banana. And
that moment. Yeah, he couldn't feel his own banana. Yeah.
And he couldn't take his left glove off, because when you have a bandage on and you have the glove on, you don't know how it's going to move, damage it can do. So he just had his hand in the glove. It was just amazing to see the fact that he was the next man in. For me, that will be the lasting image of India's performance. The fact that Jadeja was sitting there with all that he'd been through, the pain, the fact that he was going into surgery the next day.
Yeah, but he was going to bat before that. And you know, Bharat, we've heard Ravi Shastri so many times. He's said that in press conferences. We've had moments with him outside, you know, the field, off the ground, away from the airwaves. But he's again and again pointed out that, you know, this is the best Indian test team. Probably a bit of a doubt or a debate over that. There will always be debate over that. But like you said, there can be no debate over how hardened or how steeled this team is. And perhaps it is a mirror image of Ravi Shastri. Not a lot of people give him enough credit for how he's molded this team. And I think this test match, even with Virat not being there or Shami or Ishant, whoever was missing, this series perhaps has been the ample reflection of how Ravi Shastri has molded. You know, we always talk about captaincy mirroring the team. I think the coaches sometimes also give some of their personality to the teams. And I think this is a poignant example of that, which takes me to the next test, because it's going to be perhaps an even bigger struggle. They'll be like, okay, how many of you are fit? Maybe they will even call you and say, okay, you know what, we need you on the field just to field, if not to bowl and bat, because I'm sure you'll be eager to bowl and bat. But you get my point. 11 fit players, we don't know. In fact, I didn't even know they had Washington Sundar on, you know, still in the squad. Or he's not in the squad, he's there as an extra. He might be included. We'll probably find out tomorrow or day after. Give us a lowdown. How do you see the Brisbane test, you know, going ahead? Do India even have fit 11 players, or are you primed for a test debut?
I will accept the offer for a test debut if they tell me that I can choose my number. Also, if they agree for me not to use the new ball, I kind of struggle with the new ball. It swings too much. It swings both ways at times. So I'm not sure,
Your left arm pace combination with Natarajan, that'll do some wonders.
And also I have to ensure that I don't get certain Australian batsmen out. My visa application is still in progress. So, I'm trying to settle down in this. So I cannot forget that, as much as my heart beats for India. But it's going to be the one thing, like you correctly said, this team has been a reflection of Ravi Shastri, the toughness and the courage that he always speaks about, that he showed as a cricketer. And see, he gets a lot of flack in the media, in the media as well, but generally on social media.
Social media.
Outside the circle, who just want to believe the caricature that others have created for him. But in the nets, he is one man who's the first man to come, for last man to leave. He spends a lot of time with individual batsmen and individual bowlers talking about technique to, like, Mayank Agarwal has been his project for the through and Prithvi Shaw. There was one moment I remember before the MCG test when Mayank was really fussing about his technique and Ravi helped him with it. And at one point, though, I remember he was walking to the net and Ravi followed him and said, abhi sochna band, abhi khelna shuru. It basically translates to stop thinking, just play. And that's really what India did. Just going back to Sydney briefly, they just took the pain, kept the pain and everything aside, did not think about it. They just looked at the ball and played, whether it was Vihari, Pant, Ashwin, Pujara, whoever, on that last day. And pretty much what they'll have to do at the Gabba, of course, Gabba, Australia comes with all that, the record, they haven't lost since 1988, and you know, you can't beat them, there's extra bounce. But the Gabba is actually a very good batting pitch, one of the best batting pitches in Australia, if you can just survive the new ball. And that's what India will look for. The good thing for them is the top four is in good form. Rohit has come and shown his form. Gill has been outstanding in Test cricket. Pujara is back in the runs. Rahane has that MCG 100 and he was batting really well even here before he got out in both innings. So the top four is looking really, really good. So it's just a question of what they do with 5, 6, 7. Do they play Saha as the keeper, Pant as a batsman? And Agarwal or Shaw, they are the only reserve batsmen left. And if Agarwal is fit, he might play. He should play at number five.
I mean, would you pick? For me, the question here is: would you play? For me, there's no point in breaking up Gill and Rohit Sharma's opening partnership. There's no point in doing that. For me, it's about picking the middle order batsman really ahead of Hanuma Vihari. For me, it comes down to: do you want to? Let's say Mayank Agarwal is not fit, or even if he's fit, do you want to play Mayank Agarwal, Prithvi Shaw, or do you want to play Vridhiman Saha? Because Pant, yes, he's overcome his injury scare, but there's still a bit of a doubt there. There'll always be that lingering doubt. So maybe free Pant from all the keeping duties, considering that he's taken a hit. Play him just as a batsman, pure batsman, and bring Saha in, because... no disrespect to anyone. I think right now, given the form, ability-wise, everything, I think Saha's batting is perhaps equal to Mayank Agarwal's form or Prithvi Shah's form, especially in the middle order. What do you think? And also the bowling combination. Now, if you do want to play Pant and you do want to bring the extra batsman in, maybe play five bowlers, because especially if Bumrah is ruled out, that means your three pacers are very inexperienced. And then... even if one of them is taken for runs, you never know, perhaps. Then you want to play five bowlers, especially if Ashwin is also not available. I mean, I can't imagine a bowling attack of Shardul, Saini and Siraj or Natarajan, one of the three fast bowlers, and then going in with Kuldeep and Washington Sundar. I mean, it's just so desperate. It's just so desperate, really. Can't imagine a test attack like that. It would be playing with both hands behind your back.
Yeah, and it's funny that Washington Sundar had not batted at all before the Sydney test. Like, it was the first time I saw him batting was while the Sydney test was on. A couple of days he came and batted during the lunch break. This is before all the injuries, before Vihari got injured, before Jadeja got injured. So maybe the Indian team knew something was going to happen, or maybe they were just preparing him. Who knows? Or maybe it was just a net session. But I still think, I've read reports that Sundar might play. But with the batting looking the way it is, the top four looks solid. But would they risk Pant at five and Saha at six? I think Jadeja's absence is big, because I believe in, I have already said this in my piece as well, that Jadeja has to be India's all-rounder. Wherever they play, he has to be number seven. When he's fit.
That was a point we discussed in that cricketer. The cricketer podcast as well, yes.
Yeah, again, you said it. So again, a plug. I'll say it.
This time it's your turn. Yeah, you're the guest here. Yeah.
But that was a really fun podcast. You guys should go check it out. Yeah. And the thing is, will they want five bowlers for the Gabba? You think Gabba is where they would want that extra batsman? But it really comes down now to Ashwin. Like, we'll find out only tomorrow whether he's fit enough to play. But even if he is fit enough to play with these. With a tweak back, you really don't know, maybe till the morning of the match. So maybe they might have to wait.
That's the thing. I mean, if Ashwin is fit to play, but he becomes unfit during the match, that has happened before because in England he's played when he's half fit, and then during the match he's not been unable to bowl. Then you need another spinner. So then you need three pacers and two spinners. You can't go in with two pacers on a Gabba track. It's going to be. you know, it's going, it's possibly the team 11 is going to, team selection is going to go down to the wire. I hope you are able to find a way through to Queensland, if possible, at short notice. And, you know, that, on that note, we have to come to the end of this episode. Once again, Bharat, thanks so much for joining us here on Hotspot, as always. And let me remind, let me just say it out loud here, that last episode we had with Deep and Melinda Farrell, we mentioned you a lot. I mean, I'm sure you would have been itching your ear or your feet, something like that, because the number of times we mentioned you in that episode, it was wonderful. It's always wonderful having you on board. And hopefully for the England series, once again, we can have your company.
Oh, for sure. If I make my way back to Adelaide and no, thanks. It's always fun being here and talking with you. Two podcasts in a day.
That's
we've very used to seeing each other on Zoom.
So. Well, let's take a break and on that note, this is the end of this particular episode. As always, this is going to be available on all avenues, on Spotify, on YouTube, on JioSaavn and Apple Podcasts. Do listen, do share it on social media and give us your feedback. Until next time, it's goodbye.